Galatians 5. Do something a little bit different here. Galatians chapter 5. And I'll get you to stand again. I'll just be hard to get along with like crazy. Because I want to do something that you can't do everywhere. But we're going to do it here. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 22 and 23 together, okay? We'll do it slow and you read out loud so I can hear you. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if you've kept your place over in 1 Peter, I will read one verse. Verse 22, it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not made righteous because of me, because it's evident that I have so many failures and so many weaknesses. Tonight I just pray that you'll help me to reveal a little bit about this first fruit, love. And it's something that we all need to produce in our life. So I just pray that you'd reveal to us what any needs are. And Lord, if we have made progress in it, help us to know that we can go farther, deeper, stronger, and love even more each and every day. And pray that there's a Christ-like love that will be promoted here tonight in some believers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to kind of, if you were here last week, keep in mind that we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Now tonight, I want to talk to you about trusting the process, and I got to tell you a little bit of a story, which I think, unless I'm incorrect, last week I kind of alluded to it, or sometime in the last week or two I have. My dad has had surgery, and me and my sons have kind of done the pimento cheese. And when they come, Whitney, to come help us do something, you know how kids are. They want to know, they want to do it a different way. Or maybe they see, why are you doing it this way? Why do you set this right here and not over here? And Brother Bill, it's real simple. My dad doesn't set it over here. He sets it over here. So that's the pattern that I've got. When I make the pimento cheese or do something, we set this here. We don't set this over here. So my sons come, Miss Glenda, and they come and help, and we're doing it. And they go, well, Dad, why do you put it over there? And I got to where I would say this. Boys, just trust the process. Just trust the process. Now, I'm not going to go into details about making pimento cheese, but if you make 300 pounds of pimento cheese, and we are in a pretty small room when we do it, we don't have room to set stuff all over the place. It needs to be set in a particular order. And when I'm grinding the cheese, I put a pan here and here and here and here, five of them. And so when my son comes and he sets it over there, I said, no, you got to move it over there. He said, why? We got to move it over there, Dad. And it's got to where it's a joke now, because it's not just those pans. I say, trust the process. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to trust the process that God has put forth in your life to maturity? Not asking why you're going to set something somewhere. Just be obedient and set it there. Yeah, you may have to learn some things along the way, but I want you to look at this verse again. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now what's going to
kind of introduce this a little bit. We are to love mankind, and it's a command. There's no exclusion, Katie. There's no people on your list that have done you wrong that you're not supposed to love.
Whitney, Brother Bill, anybody that we picked here tonight, there's nobody on the list that, oh, they did that, so I don't have to love them. There's nobody that is taken off of the list. You understand that? And you've heard me say, that doesn't mean that you go knock on the door and say, hey, can we watch a movie together, or can I take you out to eat? That doesn't mean it, but you still have to love them. And not just an okay, I'll do it because I got to kind of love. It says here, with what kind? It says, with a pure heart fervently. So that word pure, and I'm starting at the end of the verse, that's not the way I'm going to progress through this message, but that word pure is an adjective. It's not the same word as purified up there. Now, when they say something about somebody, and they say, boy, he is a strong young man. That word strong is an adjective, right? That word pure here is an adjective as well. In other words, it is a way of describing what kind of love, what kind of heart we're to love with. Because it says that ye love one another with a, what? Pure heart fervently. And that word fervently means intently. I mean, it's like the young man that fell in love with his girlfriend, and it was love at first sight. I mean, he would fall over the heels. I mean, he would stumble over. I mean, it's that kind of love, and that's for everybody. So love is a commandment. It is a preeminent fruit in the fruit of the Spirit. When I say preeminent, in other words, it's the top dog. It, as I've seen in a commentary, it's the root of all of them. If you're going to be long-suffering, there's going to be some love involved there. Your children. You ever had to be long-suffering with your children? Yep. Ever had to be meek with them? Yep. Took a little bit of love to do that. Now I want you to think about that, because we say, you know what, Brother Rick, I know what you're talking about. I'm supposed to love my church members, and I'm supposed to love my kids. Yes, you are. But you're also supposed to love those people that are out there in the world, like those looters and those rioters that are doing. You gotta love them too. And as I told you last few days, I've been thinking about those looters and those rioters. I wonder how many of them are feeding the gospel. How many of them had a mom or a dad that treated them in some way that has promoted that evil, that despiteful attitude that's in their heart? And I don't know how accurate this is, but someone has said that child abuse from the time the COVID started, because the kids are at home, has went up about 400%. I don't know how accurate that is, but I've heard two or three different people mention it, and I believe it's at least went up a great deal. Why? Because there's some parents and some family members, some aunts and uncles, and even some other people that are mistreating the young people of this world. What's that going to lead them to do when they get older? They could be those people that are out there doing that stuff. That's why people do stuff like that. There's been something promoted in their life, and that's not what the message is about tonight. But those people, we got to love them too. And not, again, with just to say, you know what, I do love them. I hope something good happens for them. No, we got to love them just like this. In other words, let's trust the process. Let's trust the process. And tonight we're going to look at the process. But first, turn over with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Jesus describes a few things here, I think, that are helpful in our thinking. Luke chapter 6. And this is something that all Christians can always, if you will, go deeper with. In verse 32, Jesus says, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye?" Now that's black and white, right? Now if you love the people I think Brother Paul loves Matthew and his wife and his other son. You love them. It says here, and I love my wife. I love my kids. But it says here, if you love them which love you, well, thank heaven. In other words, you should love them. Even if you had a bad day. For sinners also love those that love them. So there's a second thought there. Not only I should love those people that I'm attached to, but there's a lost world out there that care for the people that care for them too and have a love for them. He says in verse 33, if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Same kind of thought, for sinners also do even the same. Look back in verse 27. Jesus puts a few more stipulations to this. He says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Now, if we took just those verses, we could base this message off of this. Very simple, but I want to show you the process. In other words, Jesus says there's a group of people out there that you're already attached to and you love them, and you kind of trade good things back and forth with them. But there is a world out there that, what's he say, that is your enemy, those that hate you, and those that despitefully use you. Jesus comes back down through here and says to love them as well. Verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now back over in 1 Peter. See, it's not enough just to say you love somebody. And you can help me finish this quote, and I'm sure you've heard it. They'll never know how much you love them until you... Y'all don't know that quote? They'll never know how much you love them until you show them. Hey, my wife, I could say the word, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if I treated her like dirt and I talked to her like dirt, would that be a true statement for me to say that? Would it, Miss Bernice? See, just saying it's not enough, guys. Just thinking it's not enough. Us reading it here is not enough. See, I can tell you a story. And I don't know whether this is the greatest way to illustrate this or not. But me and Jenny went, and we were at Mount Hebron. We went to Belize, and I want to say it's 2006 or 7. First time I'd ever been out of the country. I was all anxious, nervous. But I was willing to go because I was growing in my faith. I was doing those things, getting a passport and all that stuff. And I mean, I was like worried for my wife, worried for my life, worried about all that stuff. And I got down there and we got busy and I seen that I was not going to get, wasn't going to disappear and going to be something like one of them things you see in the movie where somebody is, disappears and they never find them. So I got to lead some people to the Lord. And that was a blessing. There was a young man down there that was in Sartanea, which was kind of our home base. We went from Sartanea and we'd go into other villages doing a medical campaign. And I got the blessing of passing out tracts and talking to people about Jesus. And Brother Bill, I hadn't led that many people to the Lord, but that was my job because I wasn't a doctor or anything. But in Sartanea, there was this young man named Myron. And he would come up every day and he had a soccer ball. And right about that time is when I just got through helping Miles and them in middle school soccer. And I wasn't really a coach, but I helped them. I knew a little bit about soccer. And he got to where he was showing me the soccer. And, of course, he started calling me coach. And we just being buddies, just being friends. This boy was probably 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range. And the week followed on by, and you know, I was nice to him. We built a nice relationship. I asked him if he was saved, and he said yes. And you know, I got to lead some other people to the Lord. And he was just like, every time you seen me, he was somewhere nearby, Kaylee. So we were at the airport, and dummy me, you know, I hadn't even thought about, what am I going to say to this kid when I get ready to leave, or am I going to give him something? I mean, I'm just like, I'm on the bus, you know, and he's on the bus. We're just talking, having a good time. We get to the airport, and everybody else is kind of, not everybody, but some people have their friends. And they're like giving them a hug, and, you know, you remember, all they, you know, they were telling them stuff. And here I was, and I'm like, I'm a dumb guy, you know, I don't have nothing prepared. And I just looked at Myra, and I'm like, man, I want to give you my sunglasses. Me and you've been buddies all week. And you think, well, that's no big deal. But when the tears started coming in that boy's eyes, and then as soon as his tears hit his eyes, tears hit my eyes. And I realized that we had shared some things. And me just handing that boy sunglasses. None prepared. Just think if I'd prepared and tried, Brother Paul. I still got his card on my desk. Myron Cobb. He's an adult now. But me and Jenny, we sponsored him a couple years in the school down there at Belize. I've never seen him since then, Brother Bill. And I thought about that. I probably did better loving him at that time than I would if somebody that I, you know, sit out and say, I'm going to love me two or three people. You see what I'm saying? So you've heard me quote the verse. Jesus said, if you lose your life, or if you gain your life, or if you lose your life, you've heard me compare that to losing your keys. In other words, if you get lost in serving Jesus Christ, in other words, you're just unfiltered, you're uncaring of what direction you're going. You're just doing it. You're going to end up finding some things that are so great in your spiritual life. In other words, trust the process. I want you to know that it can happen. Now, here we want to see what happens. Purified through obedience. Look at the verse in verse 22. And I'll go quick through this part and get to my application. See, Peter's context in this chapter is redemption. You can look at verses 17, 18. You can see in verse 19. And, you know, and the sanctification that is involved in this context and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls. In other words, you've been made clean by the blood of the Lamb in obeying the truth. Okay? And remember, we're trusting the process. Now, that word purified there is a verb. In other words, you're lost condition. You're unsaved. You are on your way to hell. And one day you hear the gospel and you respond to it and you're purified. God comes through the Holy Spirit and regenerates you and you're born again. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. That's an action that God takes through His Holy Spirit. You're purified, and that's why. Purified yourselves in obeying the truth. In other words, you heard the truth, you've seen the truth, Jesus Christ, and you responded to it, and you were obedient to it. That same process, Brother Ronnie, works for the rest of your life. But it's not just for salvation, it's for service, it's for sanctification. It moves forward in your life. In other words, he says, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto... Are you looking at your Bible? This is a process. Trust the process. Unto unfeigned love. Now, somebody want to take a gander at what that word unfeigned means?
Genuine.
How would you like to genuinely love somebody? In other words, we're talking about somebody that's been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You've obeyed the Word of God, and now, as James would say, you got two minds going on. Remember this morning we talked about about Peter, he's seen two directions to go. One of them was following Jesus and walking on the water, and the second one was what? He was sinking. He was without faith. He was not walking on the water. He was letting the world take him. He was drifting across in the world, and it was taking him. He didn't have Jesus. And here we see the same thing. Now you have two trains of thoughts going through your mind. And what is so dangerous about that is sometimes our flesh gives into it. In other words, we see that person. You see that person that has said something. Think back what Jesus said, love your enemies. Somebody that's on the opposite side. Somebody that hates you. Somebody that has despitefully used you. How are you going to treat them? Can you be genuine? Can you have an unfeigned love for them? I'm here to tell you, folks, it takes work. Now, you people that have been married for a while, tell me, do you have to work at love? Miss Lisa, I'm not going to tell you who's shaking her head yes. If you haven't been married or you haven't been in a relationship, if you're going to have a long time, and it can be, doesn't have to be husband, wife, girlfriend, boy. It can be son, daughter. It can be whatever. But you got to work at that relationship. Because there's going to be some times when it's not going to be your enemy, but there's going to be some disruption in friendships. There's going to be some times when people are going to use you for despiteful or for their own personal gains. There's going to be some times that you're going to have to work through that. Now, I know y'all know my wife, right? I mean, who would have a problem with her? Right? But it happens. I know y'all are in disbelief. I mean, I know y'all are thinking, no, it's all you, Brother Rick. It probably is mostly me, but I'm here to tell you, she got the flesh in her too. Now, it's not as bad as what you might could imagine. But Paul says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, right? Right? Y'all agree with me, right? See, I'm telling you, there is a thought process that we have, that's one. There's a thought process that Jesus wants us to have. And we got to trust the process, and we have to, if you will, we have to obey what the Word of God tells us. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 3. The Bible says, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the what? To the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want to let you know something. To be obedient and trust this process, you're going to have to fight the flesh. You're going to have to stand against it and say, no, I'm not going to do that. And when you do fail in the flesh, and you maybe you lash out at somebody, and you know that you didn't love like Jesus Christ, you're going to have to say, no, you were wrong, flesh. I need to repent of that to God. I need to get that right. I need to fix that. I even need to go to that person and say, hey, I'm really sorry about the way I responded. The poor clerk at Kroger, when she charged you the wrong price and you said, well, and you get out in the parking lot and the Lord says, that's not the way one of my children treat people. Now, you want to really get going, get to where you trust in the process, and you walk back in there and look at that girl or that guy and say, look, I'm sorry I got upset with you. That's never happened to any of y'all, has it? I mean, you've never said anything to somebody checking you out, right? I mean, somebody the other day has filed unemployment benefits on Rick Smoothcut Lawn Care. I've never had an employee at Rick Smoothcut Lawn Care. And I was talking to the Attorney General, somebody at the Attorney General, who wasn't talking to the Attorney General. So I told him, I said, buddy, you're just not helping me at all. Well, we just don't handle that. I said, you're my fifth phone number, and nobody's helped me. And the one number that everybody says that can help me, they won't even answer the phone. They just say they're too busy. See us online. And Whitney had to think while I was talking to that guy, because I've been kind of studying this. I'm like, am I trusting my process here? Because you got to be firm with people, right? Trust the process, guys. See, through the tearing down of strongholds to the obedience of Christ. There is a path that is right. There's a path that we think is right. You know, when we interact with the public, when we interact at our job, and again, I want to ask you that question. Will we fight? Will we repress the flesh? Will we obey the Holy Spirit? Second point tonight, purified through obedience. And then the second point, prepared to love through the Spirit. Now look back at our verse that we're our context verse in 1 Peter. It's important that you look at this because when I was reading this and I really prayed early in the week, and this is really how God, He said, I need you to bring the message to show that we got to love through the Spirit. I read a lot of different places, and when I read this, God said, there it is. There's your process. There's the progression of spiritual love right there. And He says, in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or genuine love of the brethren. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And then I got to ask us, are we preparing to do that? Or is this just going to be a message that you hear and go, you know what, that's probably pretty close to the truth, Brother Rick, but you know what, in this big bad world, it's what? It's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Y'all are looking at me funny. I think most of us think, well, it is. We got to take up for ourselves. We can't let people push us around. Is that right? We got to trust the process. We got to trust what the Bible's telling us. Now, there is a time in our life, folks, when we got to stand up. But I want to ask you, Bradley's Pleasure Baptist Church, is our ministry here, is your ministry personally going to be propelled by how you love people, or